This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am still Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us, coming to you from an absolutely magnificent Cape Town in South Africa. And today we get to share another fantastic Ironman story. And today it's someone who's been back to the Big Island many, many, many times, as you'll hear on today's podcast. And we'll find out what the secret is to qualifying over and over again. And what keeps him fresh in the sport. I'm talking about Tim Hohler. And we're going to be joined by him today. Before we do that, though, a big thanks to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you haven't checked out their incredible race wheels yet, do yourself a favor. They are up there with the best in the world in terms of quality, and they are at a fraction of the price. They've just introduced a pretty cool train and race package as well that you definitely want to check out. You know how some people like to lock their carbon wheels away for race day? Well, with Wheel Science, you don't have to. However, if you want them to be in perfect condition for race day, this is the way to go. Basically, you can pick up any set of their Vortex series wheels for 50% when you buy yourself a set of Elementals. That's a saving of almost $400. That's amazing. Go check it out and make sure that you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout to get an extra 10% discount, okay? That's KONAEDGE, all one word, and the URL to get to is thekonaedge.com/wheels. Definitely go check out their train and race package. It is unbelievable value for money. So the URL once again is thekonaedge.com/wheels, and the coupon code to get that 10% off is KONAEDGE, all one word. That's KONAEDGE to get 10% off your order at checkout. We head to Denver in Colorado now to catch up with Tim Hohler. Tim, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brad, for having me. It's a great day in Colorado and happy to talk to you.
Tim, Colorado in general is a bit of a hotbed for triathletes. What's in the water there, man? There must be something special going on. It's a beautiful place for one, but some of the best in the world get to live and train there.
Well, I think one of the big draws, and you might have heard this over the years, is that we have over 300 days of sunshine over the year, which is a big draw. And I think another thing is the altitude, right? I mean, there's no question that when you train at an altitude where we're at, which is mile high or higher, it definitely helps with racing at sea level, which a lot of these races are at. So, and you know what? It's not that cold in Denver and in Boulder during the winter, like a lot of people think, because they think Colorado, they think snow, which is true, but you know, we can ride year round here and get all the benefits of the sun and the altitude.
Tim, more than 300 days of sunshine. It sounds like a tough life, mate.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, there are bumps in the road. Trust me, there's those 20 degree days in the winter where you just can't get out and ride, but you know, it's okay. It's better than being elsewhere, I guess.
Absolutely. It could be a hell of a lot worse. Tim, tell me a little bit about sort of you growing up. Were you a fairly active kid? Were you pretty sporty as a youngster?
Yeah, you know, I grew up swimming. That was my main sport. I was, I think, 7 years old when my mom enrolled me in swim lessons at the YMCA. And, you know, I just kind of stuck with it my whole life. I went through high school and then after high school, you know, I kind of wasn't sure. I wasn't really that fast of a swimmer to get on to the swimming team in college at the University of Iowa. So I tried to walk on, didn't really go the way that I wanted it to. So then I discovered rowing, which is crew. And I did that for 4 years. And then when I did that, I still kind of missed swimming. But during all that time of rowing and such, my dad at the time has started doing triathlons, and he was in his early 40s. So he asked me to do one with him when I was in college. And I just thought, oh, this is kind of cool, because we were doing some run training with rowing. I had a swimming background, and I just had to, you know, figure out how to get a bike and then just, you know, get halfway decent at biking. And then it kind of slowly morphed into triathlon into those later college years.
I love that. And as much as you say you were doing a bit of run training for the rowing, I mean, rowing makes you super strong as well. So, I mean, having that sort of background definitely helps coming into a sport of triathlon.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, and a lot of that stuff, it's I mean, it's just a lot of strength work, a lot of weights, a lot of that stuff is legs. I mean, when you row, a lot of people, you know, you see a lot of people, the arms is the biggest body part that you see moving, but it's really about the legs. And I think that has a nice little transferable skill into biking, especially running.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having that, and we chat often to triathletes who come from a swimming background, and even though you might not have been the most competitive swimmer, having a bit of a swimming background and being comfortable in the water makes a huge difference coming into a sport like triathlon.
Oh yeah, you nailed it when you said comfortable, because I mean, gosh, there are so many people that when they start the sport and don't come from a swimming background, that they get into that open water where you can't see anything. You see, you have waves, you have a ton of people around you, and even the most skilled, talented swimmers still just have those panic attacks, right? But it's just over the years of being calm. And for me, I just really enjoy the swim so much. I love those atmospheres. I love those challenging swims like we had at USAT Nationals last month. So I really enjoy that because I know I'm good at it, and it's fun for me, and which is a big part of it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about having fun in the sport. I mean, that is an important one. So often we see people come into the sport and they come out guns blazing, and we see them for a season or two and they disappear, they burnt out. But longevity in the sport, you hit the nail on the head. It's got to be fun.
It totally has to be fun, especially like when you're in my stage of life where you have kids and family and work and other commitments. I have twin boys that are 11. So, and a full-time job. So, you know, my life is definitely not very boring. That's for sure. There's always something going on, but you know, triathlon's always been my outlet. It's been my way of helping me have self-improvement, you know, keeping me physically fit, mind and body, because for me, just my daily workouts, they help me during the day. They help me think straight. They help me give me good ideas for what it comes to be with work or family. And because I like it so much in the morning and it helps me with my daily life, I think it transfers very well into racing, because I really love to push myself and I love to compete and I really don't want to lose. I never wanted to lose in whether it's work or play or anything. So it's a really good system. And then there's that other part of, you know, staying healthy. And we might talk about that later, but just, you know, when you do all these things, you want to make sure that your body and your mind are working properly, whether it's muscle strains or nutrition or whatnot. So it's a lot of moving parts, but I do my best to make it work.
Where does that competitive streak in you come from, Tim? I mean, you say you hate losing. Has it always been that way, or has that developed as you've gotten older?
I think it's definitely it's developed more as I got older, because I mean, when I grew up, my parents weren't really into sports growing up and such. And so, you know, I kind of discovered this competitive thing on my own. And, I mean, once I started swimming, I just realized, because I was a pretty good swimmer and a lot of these swim races are very close, you know, with the shorter events, I just really wanted to see myself get better and better at a certain sport. And so, when I found myself getting better at triathlon and seeing myself win and getting some first places, I mean, you know, I mean, when you do well, you know, with any athlete, it's hard to accept sometimes when you don't do well. So I just look at myself as working that much harder to kind of keep my edge. And at 43, you know, I mean, it's a little bit different. I've been racing since I was 20 now, and it's a long time, but I just want to do the very best I can to keep self-improving. And to me, that's being competitive.
Yeah, Tim, and it's interesting. I mean, you're in probably arguably one of the toughest age groups, and it keeps getting tougher and tougher. I mean, like you say, you've been around the sport for just over two decades, and when you first got involved, obviously the sport, one, wasn't as big as it is today, and second of all, I mean, you look at those sort of age groups, the younger age groups, they aren't as competitive time-wise as the 35 to 40, 45 to 40 to 45, and then 45 to 50. It just, I mean, those age groups, it's ridiculous what some of the guys are doing time-wise.
It is. And you know what? I mean, every year changes. Like, you're right. I mean, when I was racing in my 20, 25, 29, I mean, it was just a different time. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, the technology wasn't there. The races certainly weren't there. But now I think people are discovering more with triathlon. I mean, there's more 70.3s out there. There's more, I mean, Ironman is doing a tremendous job with growing their races. And that just gives it more accessibility to just everyday Joes that thought that they never could do it. And now, oh, wow, there's a 70.3 in Ohio that I can go do. And it's right by my house. It's a new challenge. I'm 42, you know, my kids are older. Let me just see what I can do on this and put in, invest the training. Like, it wasn't as readily available years ago. So it's great for the sport. And it's great, I think, for people to have those goals, especially when you have kids to set good examples.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Tim, starting out in college in the sport, tell me a bit about the progression. Did you start out on the long stuff, or was it the sprints and Olympics? How did you sort of progress up to the longer stuff?
Well, in terms of triathlon, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started, I mean, just kind of like everybody else, you know, just started with the small local stuff to see what was available. But for some reason, I was always intrigued with Ironman because I watched it on TV. I saw like the mid-90s coverages on NBC. And even though I started triathlon like, you know, 95, 96-ish, you know, I still just was intrigued with the island, with what you could do, with what these people were doing on the island for such a long time with a sport that I really, you know, it was learning to love. So I was really eager to see what I could do rather quickly. So once I started doing the shorter stuff, I slowly progressed into like a half Ironman, and like 98 was my first half Ironman. And then 99 was my first Ironman in Kona. So that my very first Ironman was in Hawaii in 1999. And that all was a compilation of me being competitive, seeing it on TV, me being healthy, having the time to do it. And really liking that environment. I've always liked hot environments where you can challenge yourself. And to me, that just had all the ingredients to see what I could do, even at 25 at the time.
Tim, you must have seen some amazing changes over the years. I mean, it's nearly 20 years since your first trip to the Big Island, to what it is today. I mean, what do you think? I mean, thinking back now to that first one compared to what that show is today, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, you see, like, one of the big things I've noticed is the sponsors, right? They come and go, but I mean, you saw a good streak of car sponsorships. You saw Isuzu, you saw Volkswagen, you obviously saw Ford for quite a while, right? And you know, and then now this year, geez, fast forward to 2018, you see Amazon headlining it, right? I mean, when you look at all these companies that jump on to what triathlon has to offer, especially at Ironman distance and especially at Kona, I mean, it's a very special thing. But in terms of just, you know, the race itself, that's one thing that hasn't changed. The distance is there. Sure, the course has changed a little bit, but the distance is there. The time of day when you're doing all these disciplines is there. And, you know, as long as that's going to be in Hawaii, that's not going to change. And, you know, I mean, gosh, that's what makes it very true and honest to yourself is that, as far as I know, as long as it's in Hawaii during that part of October, and that distance, I mean, you still got to push yourself the same way you did in 1999.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, as much as the tech improves and the latest gadgets, you still need to do the work. You still need to cover the miles. It doesn't get easier physically.
No, and I don't think it ever will. I mean, you still have to prepare. You got to get in those long rides. You have to get in those swims and runs. And, you know, and you're going to have to really challenge yourself mentally, because the worst part of that race, in my mind, is the week before, especially that Friday. That Friday, especially Friday night, is never fun because no one can sleep. That's all you're thinking about. There's just so much energy in that town, which is great. But as a racer, depending on what your goals are, you really have to have your head on straight and know what you're thinking about and have a good plan for the next day, or you're not going to go anywhere, in my opinion.
What makes it Kona as a race and as a place so special?
Gosh, what a question. I don't know how much time we have for that. But, no, I mean, I tell you, I mean, for me, I mean, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For me, it's a compilation of, you know, for me, just, you know, self-improvement. What can I do in those kind of conditions in something that's the most grueling one day endurance event in the world? And for me to be even a part of that, and to me be on the cusp of seeing what I can do to make myself a better person, whether it be mentally, physically, or both. That is a draw. I mean, there's a lot of Ironman races out there. There's a lot of Ironman distance races. But for some reason, there's a draw of that island where you are that time of day and with the people that are surrounding you, the best in the world, that it's hard to put all those ingredients anywhere else. And so that's always been intriguing to me, especially as I get older, right? I mean, like you said before, 40 to 44, one of the biggest, strongest age groups out there. A lot of these guys are going sub 9, sub 850 in some cases. And, you know, I mean, gosh, if I can grow older and just maybe prove to that next person who's maybe in their mid-40s, who's out of shape, that, hey, you can do a lot of great things if you put your mind to it at this event, then that's pretty inspirational. So to keep pulling me back and seeing what I can do year after year, it's pretty great. I've done it 16 times.
Wow.
And I don't know how many people have done that race 16 times, but I'm pretty proud that I was lucky enough to be able to qualify to go back and have the, you know, have the want to go and do it.
Tim, I think that begs the question. I mean, we've got tons of people who listen to this podcast who have no interest in going to Kona. They just want to get maybe finish their first Ironman. But we have a lot of people who are trying really hard to qualify, and they are just struggling. What is the key and what is the secret to qualifying to race in Kona?
Oh, wow. Well, like we talked about before, it's changed so much, the qualifying process. There's a lot more races. There's a lot more opportunities. I mean, I think it all depends on, in my opinion, it depends on the race that you want to qualify at. There's so many different ones that have different challenging courses, different times of the year. You know, I think sometimes that because of the newer events that pop up overseas that are qualifiers, it seems like those are a little bit easier to qualify at just because of the participants, like it's because of the lack of participants, possibly. I know in the US, it's very, very competitive here. But from what I've learned just from some other races around the world, I think it might be a little bit easier to qualify. But the catch is that if you're an American, you want to qualify, you know, and do an overseas race, it's a big production, right? It's time, money, luck, right? I'd say that's part of it, picking the race. And then, you know, secondly, if you really want to, you know, get in the top 4, 5, 6 of your age group, I mean, you have to take it seriously, take your training seriously. You know, for a lot of us who have jobs and family and stuff, I'm not recommending that takes a back seat, but what I'm saying is that balance it the best way you can without sacrificing anything at home, because I think that's most important, because you don't want to mess anything up at home for a triathlon, in my opinion. And then just make sure you get a coach, you know exactly what your goals are, and you know, and if you don't get it the first time, try it again, and I wouldn't expect on getting there the first time, especially if you're new to the sport.
I always joke, Tim, that I'm going to outlive everyone in my age group. But man, there's some 80-year-olds that are really fast.
Oh, I know. They are. And I think, I don't know if I mentioned to you before, Brad, but my dad is racing in Kona this year. He's 75 to 79. It's his first shot at Kona. It's his third Ironman. Third Ironman. So he's really excited and he's really nervous. But gosh, his age group, 75 to 79 this year in Kona. Well, last year finishers, I think there was maybe 10 or 12. And he's shooting for the podium. I mean, he's as competitive as me. So it's pretty neat to see the progress with him.
I mean, that's pretty special to be able to experience that with your dad. I mean, I was lucky enough. My dad's done one Ironman as well. And I've mentioned on the podcast as well, he got a roll down and didn't take it, I might add, which is crazy. But I got to experience an Ironman with my dad, which is, I don't think there's many people who get to do that. And I'm sure it's going to be a great experience for the entire family.
Yeah. And just to clarify, I am not racing Kona this year, but he is. I mean, we thought about both of us racing together. And, you know, at the time when I was thinking about it, there's so much going on these days. I really wanted to give my dad the full attention because he deserves it. He really worked hard. So I'm just happy to be there to cheer for him.
Man, that's incredible. Let's talk about the perfect Ironman, and not necessarily on Kona. What's the secret to stringing together the perfect Ironman?
Oh boy, that's great questions. Gosh, you know, it's all about, I would say, a couple things. Obviously, physical preparation, making sure you get the right workouts done at the right times. And getting, I would say, for a lot of people that are new, getting a coach, because if you're unfamiliar with that whole style of training, I would certainly recommend a coach who knows their stuff. I'd say a big part of it is mental. Ironman can mess with you in so many different ways and can pull you a lot of different directions, especially during a 8, 9, 10 hour day. Whatever your perfect Ironman is, it can be different for a lot of different people. But you got to think it's a long day. You're going to have your highs and lows, and you really have to have your head on straight and understand that you're going to have those times and to figure out how to deal with them once you encounter them, whether it's good or bad. Right. I think that's a big thing too. I mean, the other thing is like, and I go back to, you know, being an age grouper with family and job, because I think that's a lot of us out there, is to really figure out that, you know, how to communicate with your spouse, with your family, what you want to do, because you have a support system in your house if you have a family and such, and they're a big part of your training because the training takes up a lot of the days, a lot of the weekends in some cases. So if you communicate the best to your ability and to make sure that your spouse is understanding and supportive, then it's going to make your journey a lot more successful in getting through the Ironman in one piece, to where, you know, not only is it satisfying for you, but ideally for the family as well. And I think that's all, it's all connected when you do an Ironman.
And Kona is not such a bad place for a family vacation either.
No, it isn't. So carve out that time to do something afterwards, or, you know, something where you're maybe somewhat recovered that you can enjoy the surf or something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, let's talk practically how you manage things from a balance perspective. So you've mentioned the family and it's important to you. You've got the twins, you married, you sound like a great family man, you work. Tell me a little bit about your sort of situation work-wise and how you get that balance right. What's the key and the secret to that?
Well, for me, and I talk about this a lot to some triathlon groups and such, but my job is I do medical sales. I work for a company called Medi, which actually owns the company that makes CEP compression, which you might be familiar with. It's a lot of the endurance races. So, I do the medical side of compression. So I work with hospitals, vein clinics and such, selling our compression. So, so I'm on the road a lot. I travel a lot. I'm out of the house every day. So for my secret is really just getting up early, sacrificing sleep and getting it done before, the kids go to school. So I try to get all my workouts done before 7:30, I would say, which equates to getting up between 4 and 4:30 every day. So I try to get in at least 2 hours a day at least. And then if I'm really lucky or if I'm traveling, I could maybe do something in the afternoon, but I try to get it done in the morning. That way I'm not sacrificing anything in the afternoon. For all those moms and dads out there, you know that once you miss your workout in the morning, sometimes that day gets away from you and you just can't get in what you want to get in during the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I try to get in that time. I mean, it's maybe not the most ideal time in the morning, or I'm sorry, timing, like in terms of how much workout you want to get in, but that's one of my big secrets. And then that does not change on the weekend. So some people say, oh, you can sleep in on the weekend and do your longer ride. For my Ironman training, a lot of it is, especially when the days get shorter coming up here, I'll do like a 4.5-5 hour ride, but half of it will be on the trainer starting at 4:30. And then I'll do the last two and a half outside. So that way I'm done with my brick and everything by 9. And that gives me the whole day. It's a tall order for a lot of people, but that's the only way that I have found out that makes it work, but still me be competitive and effective with it. So that's kind of my big secret. No longer.
you mentioned the coaching aspect to it and suggesting and sort of pushing people towards getting a coach. Do you think that's vital? Not just if you want to be competitive, but just to make sure you're maximizing your time. Because as an age grouper, we're all pretty busy, and the last thing you want to be doing is piling on the junk miles. And having a coach, in my opinion, will help you sort those sort of things out.
I do believe that. And, you know, some people might say, well, practice what you preach, because I don't have a coach. I only had a coach in my whole 20 some years of racing. I only had a coach for one season. And I figured it out that I realized that what I do is working for me. Because of all the training I've done, I kind of figured out what I need to do and when to do it. However, for people that are newer and just want to get things more organized, and don't really have as much knowledge on what to do and when and how hard to do it and such, that's where a coach can really come into play. So my dad's coached by Phil Now Coaching. So Kelly and Megan Phil Now out of North Carolina, they do a great job with coaching my dad. And it just gives you a plan. It's so nice to have a plan of what you're going to do each day. For me, I think I've just been doing it so long that I kind of know what I need to do. But I think for the everyday person, it's just a good idea to just have that organized plan of what to do each day.
Absolutely. As far as things you still want to achieve, like you said, I mean, you've been to the Big Island so many times. The allure is there to keep you coming back. What do you still want to achieve in the sport? And what is it that keeps bringing you back?
Well, yeah, another great question. You know, I mean, I think the foundation for the sport for me are the workouts and how I feel during the workouts. And, you know, me still feeling fast. You know, at my age, I still feel like I'm competitive, especially in my age group. So what keeps coming me back is that when I do compete, whether it's a half or a sprint or a full, I still feel competitive and I still feel like I'm improving myself, whether it's physically or mentally. I still feel that improvement is still going. And that's, in my opinion, that's the goal. I want to keep going and try to make myself better and better. And I found that triathlon is a great vehicle for that. So I'm just going to keep doing it as long as I want to do it. And as long as my body will let me do it, as long as my checkbook will let me do it, all those things. And I think it's a good thing that drives me, because like I was saying before, you know, for my kids, I mean, it's just a good example. And for any kids to see, I would say their parents doing that, it's a great thing, because there's so many bad things in the world. You turn on the news, right? And it's very depressing, you know, and it's nice to have something different sometimes where your kids can see something, you know, that you're that sets a good example. It's better. Like I always say to other parents, it's better than playing with an iPad, you know,
yep,
doing something athletic.
Yeah. And it's amazing, yeah. Tim. I grew up in a household. My dad was an ultra marathoner, and growing up, I always wanted to run ultras, and my kids are making the same noises about Ironman. So I'm sure your youngsters too, when they're old enough, they're going to be wanting to smash out a few themselves.
And you know what? If they do, great. If they don't, I support that as well. But as long as they see what's an option for them in the healthier side of things, then I'm good. As long as they can see what they can do.
Yeah, yep. It's a great environment to bring kids up in. Tim, for you, I mean, you mentioned the mental side of things a couple of times, and in racing and being mentally strong, but also staying mentally fresh is a challenge, particularly when you've been around the sport for a while and staying invigorated and that sort of thing. What do you do to keep yourself mentally sort of fresh and mentally strong to keep doing these? Because, I mean, there must be times where you go, oh, man, I can't believe I have to do another six-hour bike ride.
Yeah, right. I think it all comes down to, oh, boy, that's a great question. You know, to be honest with you, there's no real tricks or nothing that I could say, well, I do this to be mentally strong. I do this to be mentally strong. I think kind of what I was saying before, because I have such a strong passion to keep a healthy body and healthy mind, that, I mean, I don't know if that's ever going to change, but that is kind of that underlying driver that helps me be mentally strong, because, you know, I never want to lose. And I don't want anybody to say, oh, it's getting older, slowing down. I mean, yeah, sure, there's physiology and sure, we're all going to get slower, but I just want to hold on as long as I can. And I think that's motivating for me mentally to just see what I can do, especially at, you know, some of these smaller races. I did a sprint race 2 weeks ago. I was first overall in the race. There was like, I think 400 people. Second place was 15 years old, right? So like stuff like that is very mentally motivating for me to be like, oh, what can I do for the next time? So signing up for races, seeing what you can do, sticking with it and showing up. A lot of people don't show up in life, right? That's what Woody Allen said. 80% of life is showing up. And I truly believe that. And I don't think that's anything different with triathlon. So when you show up and you do well and you just never know what else is going to happen, it can drive you for the next moment and for the next race. So that's kind of what does it for me.
Nothing better than beating the youngsters. That's enough to fire anyone up.
Yeah, I had a nice talk with that kid's parents about stuff, and it was just good to see the dynamic, how it was a little bit different between me and them. So it's very healthy.
No, absolutely. Tim,
yeah.
Talk to me about the aging process. I mean, you said you still feel fast at the age you're at now, but there has to be, yeah. I mean, I've just hit 40 a couple of years ago as well, so we're pretty much the same age, and there's certain things where I start thinking, what just happened? Why is that happening? But it's age catching up, and has that sort of stuff started happening to you, and how do you deal with it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it has. It seemed like once I hit 40, 41, that's kind of when these little things kind of popped up, like in terms of like, you know, running obviously is the most taxing of the three sports, right? So that's where some things started popping up, you know, calf stuff, maybe, you know, hamstring stuff. But the way, I mean, and I know that's going to happen, but I'm very, very conservative on my running. So I won't run as much as the next person only because if I feel anything going on with my legs, I pull back, I skip a day. And I'm not shy about doing that because I would much rather not keep pushing and risk being hurt more and then be sidelined longer. I'd much rather not do that than just, you know, mentally say, okay, give yourself a couple of days off. And I think, I mean, I can't speak for all triathletes, but I know that we're a lot of us are type A. A lot of us don't want to skip our workouts, especially runs, because you want to get faster. But I think as you get older, you got to really listen to your body more than you ever did before, because the speed's still there, I think, for me. But I just have to be very cautious on what I'm feeling and listening to my body each time. And I think that's a daily thing. But the return is that if you make the right decisions with all that, I think you can really see the rewards in terms of, you know, keeping your speed up.
It's interesting you say that, because I think athletes and maybe runners are more guilty of this than triathletes, but I know triathletes do this too, where like you say, you pick up a slight hamstring niggle, or there could be a bit of a calf strain, and the first thing that a lot of people do is go, oh, it's a little bit sore, so I think I'm going to take it out for a run to see how it feels, and invariably it never feels better once you've done that. So what you're saying, I think, is great advice.
And I don't think, and I tell this to a lot of triathletes, like, I mean, I think we all deserve the right time of recovery and days off. And I've never once in all my years of racing ever regretted taking a day off, ever. I've never thought, oh, I should have ran that day or something. I've never thought of that, because I've always felt better the next day, every time. So I think that's one thing that's hard for a lot of athletes to learn and figure out over time.
Yeah, and it's so true. I took a day off yesterday. I had a bit of a niggly knee, and the red blocks on my training schedule are glaring this week from missing those two sessions yesterday.
I know you,
but
I feel it.
I trained today, and it feels better, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yep. I get it.
Tim,
I think the same way.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing the sport of triathlon today?
I think, that's a good question. Well, it seems like lately, just with races, I think safety is a big part of it. It seems like lately in races, it's very challenging for people to go into these triathlons and maybe have a higher expectation than what they want to get out of it. It seems like there's been a lot of deaths recently in more triathlons because there's more races. And I think a lot of people are coming into triathlons maybe undertrained or expecting more about out of their body than they think, or not being prepared physically. So I think that's a challenge of triathlon, is to really keep it as safe as possible for people and to make sure that people are really truly understanding what they're going to get into. There's just so much risk involved, especially when you do a longer race and in the swim, that I think a lot of people, as it's becoming more popular, people are seeing it and thinking, oh, I can do that. And that's wonderful. But as long as you're prepared. So I think that's a pretty big challenge. I think another challenge is that, you know, you want to make it special. And I mean, I love how there's a lot of races, you know, being popped up, but you know, you just want to make sure that it still has that intriguing part of it, you know, where having certain races at certain times and, you know, in different locations. I think that's another little challenge too.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines. Best of your luck to your dads on the Big Island this year. We'll be following his progress closely, I'm sure. And I hope he has a fantastic day. Please pass on our best.
Okay, sounds great.
And that's it for this edition of the Kone Edge. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you to our guest as well. Thanks to Tim for sharing his story. Fantastic it was. We'll be chatting to him in just over a week from now to find out what he's done to improve his Ironman swim. Before I go, though, a huge thanks to the sponsor of this edition of the podcast. It was brought to you by Wheel Science. Be sure to check out their brand new train and race package, where if you pick up a set of Elemental wheels, they'll give you 50% off any of their Vortex series wheels. So you can get yourself some unbelievable carbon wheels for training and racing at a massive, massive discount. So go check that out and make sure you use the coupon code KONAEDGE, all one word. That's KONAEDGE at checkout to get 10% off your order. And the URL is thekonaedge.com/wheels. You can also click on the podcast player in the player that you're listening to just below this podcast. So in iTunes or Overcast or Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to, the link is there. Just click through and go check them out. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.